from St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
Movie theaters have always depended upon some type of exclusivity, of having the films before they were available on any ancillary market. The studios with Netflix and Amazon Prime are enthralled to the notion of the subscription and not having to split any revenue.
I'm Jonathan All, in for Sarah Fenske. Along with the restaurant industry, the movie theater industry was hit especially hard by the COVID-19 crisis. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Chad Davis has more.
For the past year, the coronavirus pandemic and restrictions on public gatherings have caused businesses across the St. Louis region to shut their doors to prevent the virus from spreading. The impact has been astronomical, especially for movie theaters. Many theater operators had to make significant changes to how they run their theaters. Some theaters closed temporarily, others permanently, and some owners had to postpone their grand opening plans. Now, as the region is opening up, movie studios are releasing films into theaters for eager moviegoers. Joining me in the studio to talk about the challenges movie theaters have faced over the past year is Harmon Mosley, the owner of Chase Park Plaza Cinemas in the Central West End. Harmon, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chad. I appreciate you having me.
Of course, of course. So, Harmon, I really want to start with all of the challenges you've faced over the years running theaters and being in the film industry. You know, this has been a strange year for so many different reasons, and I'm curious, you know, have any of them compared to the things that we have seen this past year with the pandemic?
Well, Chad, I got in this business in August of 1977, so I have coming up to my 44th year, and I've operated over 16 different venues in the St. Louis market in that time period. And if you just take a look at what life was like in the 1970s, there were very few multiplexes. They were just becoming multiplexes. Projectors were just becoming, automation was just becoming where you could didn't have to use carbon arc lamps. There was, we have seen the introduction of first VHS, then cable, then DVD, and now streaming. So, you know, and even before my career, there was television, and then there was color television. So through this long past 100 plus years of cinema, the movie theaters have always faced challenges, and they have always faced, there's always been doomsayers that have said that this is the end of exhibition as we know it. And they definitely were challenges. I would have to say in my career that streaming is the biggest challenge, especially combined with COVID. It's the reason being is that the movie theaters have always depended upon some type of exclusivity of having the films before they were available on any ancillary market, be it DVD, cable, or so that when the movie first came out, it was exclusively at movie theaters. So they were pretty much force-fed to the audience, and that was a basis for their survival. Mm. Well, with the COVID, the studios changed, and Warner Brothers decided to release everything in 2021 straight to HBO Max. Disney, which is the 800-pound gorilla in the room with Marvel, Star Wars, the Disney product, Pixar, says that they're going to release 80% of their films direct to streaming, and only 20% will be exclusive to movie theaters. So that is a paradigm shift for exhibition, and we just honestly don't know how it's going to work out.
You know, you brought up streaming, and that's something that I definitely want to tackle, because I think that is a big change that we're seeing right now. You know, when we go into kind of what we're looking at with theaters and some of the challenges that they're facing and some of the things that, you know, you're working with currently, I mean, what are the operations at the Chase Park Plaza Cinemas like right now? You know, how has it changed, you know, since the start of the pandemic, and what are you all facing currently?
Well, since March 16th last year, we closed down by government decree that everybody was, you know, nobody allowed in public spaces. That we always thought we were opening in 2 weeks for about the first 3 months, that we're going to reopen in 2 weeks. So there was no clear guidance as to what the pandemic was or how it was going to impact us. Once we realized that we weren't going to reopen, I have to say in some ways I was liberated, because it was the first time in 43 years that I wasn't having to really think about the theater. But we didn't, you know, we were then banking on Tenet, the movie Tenet from Christopher Nolan, and when it was going to be released, and that was going to be the picture that was going to bring the public back into the movie theaters. You have to remember that the guidance coming from regarding COVID was ever changing, and it was never ever clear what was happening. Finally, in August, I think it was the date on that kept changing from May to June and kept being pushed back, and finally it was going to be released in the end of August. Mm-hmm. And theaters tried to reopen. So we tried to reopen with a limited schedule. We'd lost all of our staff, and our equipment had sat empty, and there was a lot involved. And because everything is built to run 7 days a week, 365 days a year, so there was quite a bit of startup to get back to that. But when we opened with Tenet, there just wasn't the audience. Mm. The biggest crowd we had was 13 people. And the biggest day for multiple five shows in a day was 100 people. So we quickly realized that this was unsustainable, that it was too early. And so we also realized it had been a lot to get a staff together and to get all the equipment back and up and running. So we figured we would have to take some path that would try to keep the equipment running and keep a minimal staff available in the event that this ever-changing environment, you know, all of a sudden opened up again. So we started doing private events. People felt comfortable in small groups of 20 or 25, and people were anxious to get out of the house, and if you wore masks and you socially distanced, we were able to do private events where people brought in videos of their own and projected them on the screen for a birthday party. And
oh, wow.
It wasn't really a business, but it did keep a few of the staff opening, and it did keep the equipment running.
You know, just kind of how you've been adapting to the pandemic and, you know, such a strange time is something that's interesting. But also there were, you know, changes that you faced even with, you know, the Moolah. I think that's one of the earliest and saddest business closures, you know, that came during the pandemic, was the Moolah Theater and Lounge, one of the theaters you own, closing. So, you know, hearing that announcement in April of 2020, you know, were you fearful that the Moolah's closure would be the first of many in the local film theater industry?
Not really, to be honest with you, because the truth about the Moolah was it was a single screen theater, and that its business had already been impacted long before COVID. In fact, COVID really was not really even was just the final straw on the Moolah. You know, the fact that it was such a big space and was operating with, had to have its own staff. It had become economically it was not a viable economic operation for at least 18 months prior. Mm. And we just held on trying to find a path forward and to see if there was another use that we could partner up with, a bar or rock shows. We tried every other possible venue to try to save the space, because it was such a great space. But the audience there just, we never, it was such an inconsistent, you only had one film to attract. And if that film was not popular, then you had 2 weeks where you were absolutely doing nothing but losing money. And then hoping that the next film would work. So the writing on the wall for the Moolah was, it was not truly a victim of COVID. It was a victim of a single screen, an obsolete, theatrically obsolete business. You don't see, there's no single screen theaters being reopened. The ones that do exist are generally owned by a nonprofit, community or oriented. There's not another single screen in the St. Louis market. Even the High Point had to open a single screen for a long time in order to stay viable. Had to build a second screen so that they could constantly keep the product fresh. And we didn't have that option at the Moolah.
Yeah, it sounds like with the pandemic, it kind of was just almost a nail in the coffin, if you will, kind of like what you were kind of describing with that, and that it was already kind of, you know, suffering from some of those problems. One of the people we actually spoke with was Sarah Baraba, who's the co-owner of the Arcadin Cinema and Bar. She offered us her take on this topic the other day, actually. She and her husband were actually preparing to open their business in St. Louis' Beville Mill neighborhood just when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. They envisioned showing a mix of cutting-edge indie and foreign films, timeless classics, and cult favorites. We actually have a clip of her describing some of those hurdles that she faced.
2 days after we picked up our building plans from the city, the city shut down, and we kind of hit the pause button, but last summer we started showing some movies on our back lot. We threw up a screen back there and got some seating, and we've been showing movies outside ever since.
And again, that's Sarah Baraba, co-owner of the Arcadin Cinema and Bar on Gravoy. Harmon, hearing Sarah talk about how she and her partner were able to pivot, I wonder if a newcomer like Arcadin was more quickly able to do that than some of the more traditional independent theaters around town. I mean, they've been doing things one particular way for so long.
Well, you know, frankly, you know, we had relationships with all the major studios. We were an outlet for the major studios. I don't believe that they're actually being licensed films from you know, the Warner Brothers, Universal, Paramount, or Disney. And so that's a little different. You know, we and I'm talking about AMC, Marcus, every exhibitor from an independent like myself to a big chain, the biggest chain like Warner Brothers, all depend upon the studio pipeline. And the studio also until streaming depended upon the movie theaters that you were obligated or under some kind of pressure to play there, if you had an open screen, to play their movie, and you were committed to doing that for a minimum of 2 weeks, no matter what it grossed. I mean, that was another part of the big problem with the Moolah, that if the movie didn't gross the first week, well, you were just sitting with the staff and twiddling your thumbs and losing money, air conditioning, heating, cooling, rent, and all of that stuff, without any possibility of increasing revenue. That's exactly why there's multiple screens, because so you can have more than one auditorium and always come in with something fresh every week. Well, what happened for us was that the studio model broke down, that the studios were no longer releasing their films because there were too many theaters closed. They'd spent millions and millions and millions, and up to $200 million, like for Tenet, and then they spent another tens of millions of dollars to market these films. They depended upon a broad release for it to go a minimum of 2,000 to as many as 4,000 screens at a time. Well, with the pandemic, that eliminated that, and it made it foolish for them to release these films that cost so much money when there was no possibility of them recouping it. which is why they pivoted to streaming. Mm. There was very little what the exhibitor, the symbiotic relationship that the exhibitors have with the studios, we didn't have the film, the new film to open. And they made available, a lot of places tried and they opened up their catalogs and would release old films like Ghostbusters and Goonies and all of these classics that were pretty much available either on DVD or on already available on streaming to exhibitors. You could play those, and they were really relatively affordable. They would release them for $125 or $250. But in all honesty, there often wasn't the audience to even justify that minimal investment, minimal guarantee.
I'm speaking with Harmon Mosley, who's the owner of the Chase Park Plaza Cinemas. We're discussing the movie theater industry and how it's changed over the past year since the coronavirus pandemic. There's so many, it sounds like this is just such a sea change then when it comes to these studios and the releases then, I mean, because of the pandemic. So I'm curious then, how do you see, you know, the exhibitor industry even bouncing back after this? I mean, what's the path back to how things were? You know, is there even a path back to like how it was beforehand with all these changes?
Well, that is just the $64 million question. You've nailed it. I mean, that is the question. And the truth is, I don't know. And anybody who says they know doesn't know. It's we're in uncharted new territory. It's unknowable. Exhibition is resilient. It's a resilient industry, and it's an ingrained pastime in the American public. Streaming is a whole new game, a whole new competitor, and the studios with Netflix and Amazon Prime are enthralled to the notion of the subscription and not having to split any revenue like they do with exhibitors. Yet the public, there are still certain films that are best experienced on the big screen. There's one school of thought that thinks that the only movie theaters that are going to survive are going to be the IMAX, which you cannot have, you cannot duplicate that experience at home. Mm-hmm. Or the studios have tried to, the exhibitors have tried to recreate the your Barco lounger sitting in front of your television, only all magnified with the big screen. With the luxury seating and having food delivered, and whether or not that takes off or survives remains to be seen. What I am cautiously optimistic, because the studios are also a business that are very subject to changing their mind, and while the subscription model is their darling at the moment. The moment that they see revenues from theaters spike and see it as a viable way to get a return on their investment, they're going to do it. Somebody wrote I read recently, it said, here are the facts. There are no friends in this business. It's just a business. And the studios are going to do what is best in their economic interest. And that, No matter that theaters have had a long-term relationship with them, they are going to be driven strictly by what works for them economically. But I do think that there will be a way for some movie theaters to survive.
You know, and with that, I did want to go back to the Arcadian Cinema and Bar folks who told us that programming is the main thing that they're mulling right now. It's kind of similar to what you were saying. Well, here's co-owner Sarah Baraba.
I guess the most interesting thing for us at the moment, or challenge for us, is just trying to figure out, you know, what do people want to see? We're trying to program, you know, fun movies, but also things that are on the more kind of eclectic side. That people wouldn't normally see in the theaters. And we're just trying to, you know, gauge what are people going to be interested in coming out to see versus what are they going to want to watch at their house?
That's Sarah Baraba. You know, Harmon, she mentioned some things that were kind of similar to what you were saying about programming and trying to find interesting ways actually to still use the space that you have and show movies. So I have to wonder about, you know, have people just gotten so comfortable with all the stream platforms at home these days? You had talked about streaming earlier. Or, you know, or do you think that there's still an appetite for going to the movies, especially since many studios are releasing films in theaters and on streaming services at the same time?
We're in a place where we still that's an unknown. I have to say the axiom that has existed from my early days in the business is a movie theater is only as good as the picture on the screen. And that if people want to see it, they'll come see it in a barn. I mean, years ago when the Tivoli, long before it had been remodeled, was a horrible venue. The roof leaked. It wasn't warm. It wasn't cold. But they would still sell out if they had the right movie. And I still think that there's some truth to that. I think that, though, these folks on Gravelly are on the right track in that you are going to have to be more creative. There's going to have to be more events. There's going to have to be more eclectic mix of movies, and kind of go back even to the calendar houses where you're changing. You're not only, you know, you're offering two different films in any particular day, and every day of the week there's, you know, 14 different movies that you're playing. But you know, in some ways, that's what's being offered on streaming. And people don't have to go out of their house, the comfort of their house, to have that kind of variety. So, you know, it's different. I've noticed specifically that there's the older audience that we were often main chase customers have been more hesitant to come back. But we're also wondering if it's not a catch-22, and we're pivoting to open for matinees 7 days a week in the next week or so, because we think that while we're showing attendance is definitely better than it was 6 weeks ago, it's still at about 35% to 40% of what it was historically. And we wonder if, well, are we not getting the audience because we're not open, or has it changed? And we think the only way to find out is to get open for matinees 7 days a week, 9 o'clock shows 7 days a week, and see if the audience comes. I do think, though, also with the pandemic, it is gradual. This is not going to be an instant coffee. It's not going to be one day we're dead and the next day it's busy. You see that with the Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't selling out their seats at the moment. Of course, they're suffering from not enough product, just like we are. And so we had the right product where we think people will come. Now, last night, we opened Black Widow, Disney picture with Scarlett Johansson. This picture was supposed to open 14 months ago. And we played it on two screens, four different shows last night, and we had a pretty darn good crowd. It's encouraging that it's definitely moving in, I think, in the right direction. But this is one of those event pictures that people want to see on a bigger screen in an environment with other movie, in a communal environment, more than watching it on their television. Now, people have 85-inch home theaters and are happy to sit in their basement and watch that, but it is a different experience than sharing that experience communally. And we human beings are social creatures. We like to be with each other. We like to go to bars. We like to go to concerts. We like to have our experiences, watch sporting events. I think a movie is also a story that's being told and people enjoy sharing that experience with other people. And it's also something, you know, I worked for Washington University for a short period of my time in my career, And they were given some thought at one point about putting a movie theater on the campus because it was such a great way to break the ice for the students who were freshmen who had just come and first time away from home in a college environment, had a difficult time meeting new people. They go see a movie together, they instantly have something to discuss afterwards.
Well, you mentioned Black Widow and, you know, some of these big movies that are now coming out into theaters. Lastly, Harmon, what I wanted to ask you, what are your immediate hopes for The Chase as people start to trickle back to the big screen?
Well, we're hoping, like I said, we're moving to opening, and we're going to do this as we can get the staff and watch it and what is warranted and see what happens. We think that there's a steady flow. Look, this is generally speaking, we're in some of the best time of the year for movie going. Summer is always a busy time until about the middle of August. There's a steady stream of new Hollywood releases coming out. Not many of them are not being released simultaneously with streaming. And I just know that has a dampening effect on the movie going. But look, we have affordable ticket prices at $5, and on Wednesdays at $5, and every day until before 5:30, that's a pretty affordable luxury. And I think by being open more, and we're gonna see if we can get back to that up to that level of 3,000 to 4,000 guests a week, which is where we historically have been.
Well, Harmon, it's exciting to hear so many of these developments and seeing where theaters are going now, especially since things are opening up and studios are releasing movies. Harmon Mosley, thank you again for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Chad. Thank you.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.